All right, I will say good morning. Let us begin. Let's begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Sheer to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in deep gratitude to the entire Kehillah. Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zechariel, his mother Sarah Bas Avram, and great-grandmother Tzirel Bas Reb Dov. Our week of learning has been dedicated by Heshi and Sandy Schoenfeld and Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld in the merit of an Aliyas Neshama of Heshi's mother, Selina Schoenfeld, Sarah Leah Bas Moshe Halivi. And the day of learning has been dedicated today by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of Malka's mother, Sarah Stiefel, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram Zichron Livracha. And our shiur this morning is dedicated by Jackie and Betty Gladstein in honor of the birth of their new granddaughter born to Ari and Rachel in Houston, and to Jack Bennett for the speedy recovery of his father, Admeh Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. In the merit of our Talmud Torah, may all those who require a refuah have one, may all of the neshamas have an aliyah, and the families a nechama. And may this beautiful little girl, little baby girl Gladstein, Emir Sashem, grow up to be an incredible Bas Yisrael and a source of nachas to her parents, her grandparents, the entire Mishpacha, to Am Yisrael, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Abbas, say with that, let us begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. A little bit of a difficult daf, not difficult in terms of the words, but as you'll see, a little bit heavy on the content, in terms of a heaviness of the subject material. So let's take a look. So we are picking up in Yeretz Hashem. We have a lot to do today. So today's Lamed Gimel 33. We're picking up Lamed Beis 32b at the two dots. Simin, Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Ba'avon Sinas Chinam. So it's about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, about 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. So Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Ba'avon Sinas Chinam, as a result of the sin of Sinas Chinam, the Sinas Chinam, we often go ahead and translate as baseless hatred. So if you look at Rashi, it's actually quite interesting. Rashi says, Sinas Chinam, Shelo Ra'a Bo Davar Avera, Shei Mutar L'Sanos of V'Sonei. So we'll say this Rashi itself is complicated. So Rashi says, what does it mean to hate someone, right? Baseless hatred. So Rashi says, it's not like you saw in him an Avera that would warrant the hatred. The Rabbo said, it's actually quite interesting because the Mashma'os of Rashi is that if you had seen, let's say, some type of, if you had seen sinful behavior, then perhaps that might be reason to hate someone. Again, this is a more in-depth conversation in of itself. But the point over here is there's no reason for you to hate this person. There's nothing that you saw him do or didn't do that would warrant the hatred. You just hate him. That's called Sinas Chinam. So as a result of Sinas Chinam, Meriva Rabba B'soch Beso Shel Adam, ultimately, again, a person will have an incredible amount of fighting in his home. That I will say now again, that's obvious. People who engage in Sinas Chinam, so a person who engage in baseless hatred, are quarrelsome individuals. So that's a midah that you can't really turn off. So if you're fighting with other people unnecessarily, you're going to be fighting with your own family members as well. The Ishtoma Palace Nefalim, Rahman al-Tzlan, again, one's wife miscarries as a result of Sinas Chinam. Ubanav ubinosav shal adam, mesim kishen kitanim. And Chas HaShalom, one's children could die when they are young. So I will say, so just to understand, same metaphor as yesterday. When a person is a cantankerous, contentious individual who harbors animosity and hatred towards other people for no reason, that fundamentally undermines the fabric of a home. It prevents, right? So when it says the wife miscarries, it prevents children from maturing and growing. Children die young. It prevents the family from progressing. Being that type of personality fundamentally undermines anything you want to build as a mishpacha. If a person doesn't separate that challah, person doesn't give the kohen his fair share, so what happens? There is no bracha ultimately again with anything that you gather. Even if you have stored food, the stored food will rot. And ultimately again, you will see a decrease in prices. Vizorin zraim v'achirim ochlim. And whatever you plant, other people will come and eat. Shneamar afani es ezos lachem v'ifkarati alechem b'halas hashachefes hasakadachas mechalosenem u'medivos nefesh Uzratem l'rik v'zarechem. Excuse me. Uzratem l'rik v'zarechem. Ba'achlu aydechem. Al tikru b'hala ela b'chala. So Rabbi said a little bit of a homiletic exposition that if a person doesn't separate out chala, all of these curses of the tochacha will come upon them. But if you give challah, your produce is blessed. Shine emar reishis arisosechem titnu lakoin laniach bracha el toch beis el beisecha. But avon bittul trumas and maestros. In the event that Chas Shalom a person does not give trumas and maestros, shamayim neetzarim midahori talu mater. The heavens do not give forth their rain and their dew. V'hayoker. Things become much more expensive. Wages, or I should say profits, are lost. And Abba said people run after their parnasa and they never catch up with it. Right? A very profound statement. Meaning generally you have to run after parnasa. But at least if you have to run after it, knowledge that you'll catch up with it. The curses, you'll run, you'll expend all of the effort, and you won't even catch up with it. Shine emar, siagam chom yigzul mime shalek shol chato, mai mashmo, tendre bishmo, bishvil dvarim shetzi visi eschemimo sachamo. So we'll say, how does this, how do you power up from that pasuk? Do you see anything about Shumas and Maestros? So the Gemara says, bidav, bishvil dvarim shetzi visi eschemimo sachamo, velo asisim, yigzulu mikem mime shalek bimo sagishamim. Because of the things that you should have done during the summer. But remember again, summer is harvest time. Harvest time again would be times where the spring, spring, summer is harvest time. So this starting Pesach. Remember, Pesach is the beginning of the harvest time. That's why we harvest the barley. That's the first thing, the earliest crop to mature. So because you did not do what you were supposed to do during the harvest, i.e. you didn't separate a challah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will steal the rain from you in the winter. Vim nostin, but if you go out and you give trumas and maestros, nisparchin, ultimately again you'll be blessed. Shnei emar, haviu es kalamas v'abeis otzar b'taref b'beisi u'bechanuni gam bezos. Amar Hashem Tzevakos, im lo eftach lochem es haruas hashayim v'arikosi lachem bracha ad belidai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, give you trumas and maestros, and I'll give you bracha ad belidai. My ad belidai. What does that phrase mean, ad belidai? I will give you so much that literally your lips will tire from saying enough. But avon gezel, if a chas v'shalom is a result of the sin of theft, hagovai ola, locusts take over, v'arav hava, and famine sets in, ubnei adam ochlim basar b'nei b'nosein, and famine can become so severe that chas v'shalom people eat their own children. Shneemar, shimu hadavar azos paras habashan, asher b'har shomron ha'oshkos dalim v'arotitzos evyonim. So we'll say this is like the women of Mechuzah. What happened with the women of Mechuzah? Top of Bam and Gimel. The Achlan Velo Avdan. They eat a lot and they don't work. So what that means, Rashi points out over here, that these were women who were very used to a very high-end lifestyle, but did not want to pitch in for the needs of the household. And therefore their husbands had no choice, quote-unquote, but to resort to theft in order to go ahead and support them. Uksiv, hikesi eschem b'shidafonu b'yirakon harabos kanoseichem, v'kameichum teneichem v'zeiseichem, yochlu agazam. Uksiv, yeser agazam ochal ha'arba, ha'arba, v'yeser arba, yochal ha'yelek, v'yeser ha'yelek, ochal ha'ksil. Uksiv, v'yigzer al yamin ra'av, v'yochal ad smol v'lo savu, ish basa v'lo savu, ish b'sar z'ro'o yochlu. So we'll say, so before we get to that last pasuk, to the Torah of, excuse me, the Psukim over here, this is from Amos. So the Psukim over here are talking about this idea that in the event that Chas V'Shalom, that there's theft, and why would there be theft? So sometimes we'll say people have theft in order to go ahead and enrich themselves. Sometimes people have theft in order to, because they perceive they need it in order to support the needs of their household. But the idea you see is that once there is theft, there are swarms of locusts that come and overtake all of the crops. Now the last pasuk in that section, although again, different pasuk from Yeshayo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when there is ra'av, when there is famine, so what will happen? People will eat, they won't be satiated at all. A person will even come to eat the flesh of his arm. Altikri basar zuro'o ela basar zaro. Don't read it as the flesh of his arm, rather the flesh of his children. So we'll say, so you know, even in the kinnis, we make reference to this, that there were times where famine was so acute that I think the lashon of the kina is Ibnashim Binosein Tisha Tivashalna, something, I don't remember the exact lashon of the kina, but again you have Yirmiyahu HaNavi lamenting that there was such intense famine that people ate their children. So we'll say on a metaphorical level, what it also means is as follows. You know, times of famine are incredibly stressful times. One of the most important lessons that we teach our children is how to deal with stressful situations. So sometimes, again, when people fall apart in the midst of stress and don't keep it together and don't model for their children the right type of behavior, and again, it's hard because stressful situations are stressful. So sometimes, again, it could be as if a person's consuming their children. Again, same way we saw that metaphorically before in death of children. Doesn't have to mean physical death, but means stunting their growth. So too, again, when a person encounters stressful situations, that is such a teachable moment. That is such an opportunity to tell our children how to deal with adversity. And if a person doesn't utilize that moment, it's ki'ilu they're consuming their children. Ki'ilu, again, they're undermining the future growth of their children. Ba'avon inoy hadin, v'ivos hadin, v'kil kol hadin, u'bitol Torah. So we'll say, as a result of the sin, inoy hadin means that ultimately the judge delays adjudicating your case, unnecessarily delays it. Ivo sadin means ultimately, again, he goes ahead and purposely corrupts judgment. And kilkul hadin means he's just negligent. The judge is negligent. So whether the judge delays, the judge purposely perverts judgment, or the judge is just negligent and therefore as a result does not go ahead and deliver the right din. So what's tala? So what happens? So the or bitl Torah, cherev, so again war, biza, plundering, biza rabba, right? Vidavar, so the Gemara says vidavar bitsuras ba, vidavar, pestilence, ubitsores, famine. All of these things come upon Ubene Adam Ochlin the Inon Svein. People go ahead and they'll eat and they won't be sated. For Ochlin Lachman the Mishkal, they'll only have a little bit of bread. So we'll say in this entire progression of psukim, you see that this whole thing is linked to corruption and judgment. Which I will say, so what the Gemara is saying over here is, remember, where there's no din, where there's no judgment, right? Where there's no proper process of din, of adjudication of cases, under those circumstances, the very fabric of society begins to unravel. So as the fabric of society begins to unravel, then ultimately, again, all of these things occur as well. War and lack of food and the pestilence. Good. So ba'avon shvua shav u'shvua sheker v'chil l'ashem v'chil shabbos. But as a result of the sin of taking a false oath, or I should say an oath in vain, a false oath, desecration of Hashem's name and desecration of Shabbos, what happens? Chaya ra'a rabba u'behima kalo u'bnei adam mismatin v'adrachim mishtomimin. So we'll say, so what happens? So the community will be overrun by wild animals, and because of wild animals, the livestock will cease to exist because the animals eat the livestock. As a result of wild animals, there's less pedestrian traffic on the streets, and therefore, again, the roads are desolate. Shene emar ve'im be'ela lo tivasru li atikri be'ela ela ba'ala. Uksiv, so we'll say Allah is lashon of shvua. If you take false oaths, or if you take oaths in vain, these things will happen. Uksiv, v'shlachti bochem eschayas asad, uksiv b'shvua sheker, v'lo sishavu b'shmi la sheker, v'chilalte shema eshema lokecha, u'bichil la'ashem ksiv, v'lo sechalu eshem kodshi, u'bichil ha'shabes ksiv, mechaleha mos yumas, v'yolev chilul, chilul mishvua sheker. So also you see that the Torah employs the same lashon of chilul, of desecration, by shvuas sheker, a false oath, by an oath in vain, and by Shabbos. Incredible. So we'll say, so just understand, by the way, what's the point of these gemaras? So besides the fact that they're a bit sobering, I'll say the point of these gemaras is that every action has a reaction. That everything we do in life, whether we do it as individuals or whether we do it as a society, has repercussions and ramifications. There is no such thing as an action that doesn't have an impact. sometimes are the impact of our actions are felt on us as individuals, and sometimes the impact ultimately again is felt on a society. So what you see over here that the Gemara is saying is there are certain averos that are so severe that the fallout is not just limited to the individuals ultimately again who have committed them, but the fallout ultimately could be felt by communities as a whole, which for us, the takeaway message for us is it creates a heightened sense of responsibility. Sometimes we do things and at the end of the day, we figure we can do it because it's just me that I'm impacting. And the Gemara tells us that's not true. That's not true. At the end of the day, everything I do, everything you do, what you do impacts me, what I do impacts you, and what we all do impacts everyone around us. So how careful and cognizant we have to be about what we do and how we do it. So the Gemara goes right there. Ba'avon shvichas damim beis hamikdash charev. As a result of the sin of bloodshed, the beis hamikdash is destroyed. Ushchina mistalakes mi Yisrael. And the Shechina ultimately again is removed from Am Yisrael. Shabbos says, so again, this is a result of shvichas damim. This is a result of murder. You know, Shabbos says, going back to brachas, you know, the Gemara says, the Gemara says that, that mutav la adam shapir las asos of kiv shana ish the yabin pnei chavero berabin. It is better for a person to throw themselves into a fiery furnace than to embarrass his friend in public. So most of the commentaries take that statement to be a bit hyperbolic. It's just telling you really shouldn't embarrass someone. I mentioned this when we learned brachas that Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, that statement is literal. That statement that Rabbeinu Yonah says literally, it is better to allow your life to be taken than to go ahead and embarrass someone. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, you'll say, how could I say it's literal? At the end of the day, there's only three things you have to give your life for. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says that ultimately, again, embarrassing someone is the equivalent ultimately of what? Of killing them. So the Rabbeinu Yonah actually includes embarrassing a person under the umbrella of shvichos damim, of shedding blood. So I'm just pointing out that when you see over here, ba'avon shvichos damim, as a result of the sin of spilling blood, just according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, would also include embarrassing people, which is really quite amazing. So the Gemara says, as a result of shvichos damim, beis hamikdash charav, u'shchina mistalakes mi'Yisrael, the Shechina leaves klal Yisrael, sheneemar, v'lo sachanifu, v'lo setame es ha'aretz asher tam yoshvim ba, asher ani shochin b'socha. What do you see from here? So the Torah says, do not go ahead and exchange or in any way degrade, and do not defile the land that you are dwelling in, that I, God, am dwelling in. What do you see from here? So you can infer from this that if we do defile the land, so what happens? I will not allow you to live in it, and I will not live in it either. As a result of immorality, idolatry, and negation of the observance of Shemitah and Yovel, Golus Baliolam, diaspora comes to the world. We're exiled. Umegalin Osan, and we are exiled from Eretz Yisrael. Uba Enachir in the ocean Mim Koman, and others come and they sit in our place. Shene Emar, Kies Kalatoy Vos Hakel, Asu Anshia Aretz, Uksiv, Vatitama Aretz Ve Efkot Avona Alehel, Uksiv, Velosaki Aretz Eschem Bitamechem Osam, Uba Vodas Kochon Uksiv, Venasati es pigrechem, vashimosi es mikdeshechem, veeschem ezara bagoyim, bashmitu biolovskseiv, as tirtsa aretz eshapso se, koyime hashama, vataba aretz aivechem, ksiv uksiv, koyime hashama tishpa. So we'll say to the point over here, again, without going through each of the psukim individually, but you see what the Gemara is ultimately doing is linking all of these averos, linking immorality, Avodah Zorah, and negation of Shemitah and Yovel. And each of these particular infractions carry with them a Lashon of Galus, a Lashon of Diaspora. So we'll say, so when we go ahead and Chas V'Shalom do these things, which again, if you think about it, Gilras, immorality is a fundamental undermining of interpersonal relationships. Avodah Zorah is a fundamental undermining, ultimately again, of relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And negation of Shemitah and Yovel is a fundamental undermining of our relationship to the land. So isn't that incredible? What the Gemara is telling us is, when do we lose Eretz Yisrael? We lose Eretz Yisrael ultimately again when we go ahead and undermine all of our life relationships. If we undermine our relationships with each other, we undermine our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we undermine our relationships with the land. that's when, unfortunately, we lose the land. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ba'avon nivlus pe b'tzaros rabos ugzeres kashos mischatzos. We'll say an incredible Gemara. As a result of the sin of nivlas pe, right? Nivlas rabos, it means speaking inappropriately. And we're going to see speaking inappropriately really means two things. It could refer to speaking about inappropriate things, and it also, of course, refers to the use of inappropriate language. So the Gemara says, so as a result of Nivlus Peh, Tsaros Rabos Ugziros Kashos Mischatzos. Ultimately, again, terrible Tsaros. And Gzeros, ultimately, again, come up. Ubachuri Soni Yisrael Mesim, and young Jewish men die. V'Yisomim Va'amanos Tzuakin Ve'inanin. And the Yisomim and Amanos will call out, and no one answers. Shene'emar. Akein bachurav lo yismach Hashem, ves yisomav va'almanosav lo yirachim. The pasuk is about, so the Gemara is quoting over here, the pasuk from Yeshaya, right? Therefore, again, the bachurav, right? The young men will not rejoice, and the widows and the orphans, no one will have compassion on them. Ki kalu chanav umera v'chopet dover nevala, b'chozos lo shavapo va'od yadon netuya. So we'll say, what does it mean when it says Od Yado Netuya? His hand is still extended. So we'll say, so here, what the way the Gemara is interpreting the pasuk, although the Mefarshim interpret this pasuk differently, the way the Gemara is interpreting it is that why do all of these things happen? Why do the Bachurim? Why do the young Jewish men die? Why is it that the Amanas and Yisomim call out and no one answers? V'chopet dover nevala, because people are speaking inappropriately. People are talking inappropriately. And not only that, va'od yado netuya. And even after speaking inappropriately and seeing the ramifications of that, nevertheless, what? A person's hand is still extended. So the Gemara said, my va'od yado netuya. What does that mean, his hand is still extended? Amrav Chanan Barava, hakol yodin kala lama nichnas alachopa. It's a very profound Gemara. Everyone knows when you attend a wedding, everyone knows what the chasen and kala are going to do that night. Ela kol hamenavel piv, but whoever debases his mouth and talks about it, chosmin alav gizardin shal shevim shana latova, afilu chosmin alav gizardin shal shevim shana latova, even if such a person had a positive judgment for the next 70 years, signed and sealed in the Beis Din Shlamala, hofchin alav lera. Ultimately, again, that judgment is overturned for something terrible. So we'll say, it's interesting, by the way. So just see, over here, when we think about nivol peh, we often assume it's the use of bad words. But you see over here that the Gemara's paradigmatic example of nivol peh is going ahead and debasing something that has the capacity to be so meaningful, so beautiful, and so kadosh. So a person's at a wedding, and they make some type of sexual reference about the chasen and kala, debasing the kedusha of the event. See, the Gemara literally says that is an unforgivable offense. It's amazing. Jose, it doesn't say like if you're mechalal Shabbos, that even if he had a gzar din for 70 years, the Beis Din Shalmala goes ahead and overturns it. But here, the Gemara says, you make an inappropriate comment, ultimately, again, about the chasen and kala, then your din is overturned. We'll say the idea being also that a person who talks this way, and a person in general, we'll say this is really what the Gemara is getting at over here, is a person who takes a mocking tone to things. We'll say, when a person mocks things, and especially when they mock Dvarim Shebekdusha, when they mock matters of holiness, so it fundamentally undermines their ability to really accomplish or appreciate anything in life. So the Gemara says, such a person like that, who takes something that is so kaddish, like a marriage, and like the beginning of a marriage, and mocks it and makes fun of it, probably does that in other areas as well. Such a person like that is fundamentally missing a fabric of holiness from his life. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Rabbi Rashi, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Manavel Espid Ma'amikin Lo Gehenim. Whoever goes ahead and speaks inappropriately, they carve out the deepest part of Gehenim for him. Shene Amar Shoch Amuka Pizaras. Nachem Bar Yitzchak Amar Af Shomea V'Shosik. Not only that, even if you hear Nivol Peh and you don't say anything, you hear it, but you don't say anything, that's also problematic, says the Gemara. Shene Emar, Zom Hashem Yiposham. Amrav Oshia, Kol ha-memarek atzmo la-avera, chaburos u-pitzanyos. Well, it's a very interesting Gemara. So we'll say this is kol ha-memarek atzmo. Kol ha-memarek atzmo means anyone who goes ahead and stops doing everything else that he's doing in order to sin. The Rebbe said, let me clarify this in just a moment. You know, sometimes I'm minding my own business and an opportunity to sin comes my way and I take it. Okay. Meaning it happens. I'm a human being and I'm frail. And sometimes I have shortcomings. I always have shortcomings, but sometimes those shortcomings manifest themselves in acute ways. So I'm not looking to sin. I'm not looking for it, but it kind of just came my way. So I took it. Memarik is someone who purposely stops everything that he's doing in an effort to go and sin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, listen, you know, if sin stumbles across you and you happen to do it, okay, we're human beings. But to kind of like stop, memarik means like empty, to stop, put everything else on hold, stop everything right now, and going out of my way to look at sin, that's already a heightened level of culpability. So such an individual, chaburos ubitzan yotzimbo, ultimately, well, interestingly enough, chaburos ubitzan means that literally this person suffers with physical maladies. There are wounds, chaburos, injuries and wounds that sprout on his body. Shneemar, chaburos pasatim ropera. V'lo ot, ela shnido meidarkon. Not only that, but he suffers from hidarkon. Hidarkon abosa was some type of disease that they had. We'll see it later on, but it sounds like what Rashi says, cholihu. So it sounds like it was a disease that ultimately led to the constricting of the airway and suffocation. Shneemar, umakos chadrei beten. Amra v'achar b'yitzchok, simon la'avera hidarkon. V'achar b'yitzchok says that if a person suffers from hidarkon, that is usually a sign that such an individual has in fact committed an avera. Tan rabbanon, gimo mine hidarkon hein. There are three different types of hidarkon. Or I should say hadrokon, that's really how to pronounce hadrokon. So hein, shalavera ava. So we'll say if a person goes ahead and commits an avera, so apparently that type of hadrokon manifests itself in the skin becoming hard and thick. Vishal ra'av, and if a person has hadrokon because of famine, that results in swelling. Vishal kshafim dak, and as a result of sorcery, ultimately, again, the skin becomes very thin. Shmuel HaKatan Chashbei. So Shmuel HaKatan once contracted hidrakon. Amar Ribono Shel Mi Mafis. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, again, who is going... You see, Shmuel HaKatan was worried. He's like, listen, you could get this either because of Avera, or because, ultimately, again, of Kshafim sorcery, or because of famine. So Shmuel HaKatan was nervous. He said, listen, people are going to see that I have this. They're going to think that it's going to be because I sinned. Tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Avera did I do? He was healed. Abaye Chashbei, so Abaye also contracted Hidrogon. So Amarava Yidana Bei Benachmani de Michvin Nafshei. I happen to know that Abaye often does not eat enough. He doesn't eat enough, and therefore the Hidrogon that he has is a result of sustained famine. Rava Chashbei, so Rava ultimately again once contracted Hidrogon. I Rava Hu De Amar Nafishi Katili Kedam Nafichei Kafan. So apparently the other way to go ahead and contract Hidrogon is if you don't properly relieve yourself, you don't take care of your bodily needs when you need to. So that could apparently also result in Hidrogon. So Rava should have known better, right? Because Rava said, ultimately, again, more people die because they don't relieve themselves in a regular fashion than from hunger. All right, so we'll say Rava was saying that more people die because they don't take care of their bodies than those who go ahead and die from hunger. How could it be that Rava contracted Hidrokan as a result of not going to the bathroom on a regular basis? He should have known better. So the problem was Rava often after Shir, his Talmidim would not let him leave. So they wouldn't let him leave. They besieged him with questions. So because they wouldn't let him leave, just a lot of times he ended up, I guess, holding back from going to the bathroom. And as a result, he got sick. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Dalet Siman and Hain. Dalet Siman and Hain. So I will say there are four different Siman and four signs. We'll see what this means. Siman La'avera Hidrokan. As we said before, if a person contracts Hidrokan, that's a sign that they've sinned. Siman L'Sinaschinam Yarkon. This is very, very interesting. That apparently the Siman for Sinaschinam, meaning if a person ultimately, again, If a person goes has sinas chinam, has baseless hatred, so the simon for that is yakon, literally means jaundice. So also, I have to understand that from the Gemara, yarok could either mean yellowish or yellowish green. So what's interesting about this is as follows: it could be that maybe the pshat with this is that sinas chinam often comes about as a result of envy. Right, so that's what normally when people hate someone else for an abasis, it's often a result of, you know, thinking about this way. I think there's that lashon, right, of green with envy. So it's interesting, this idea that what happens at least again with jaundice is at least in a baby, right? There's a certain lack of physical maturity that's there, a physical progression that's there. So a person who goes ahead and lives with sinas chinam is fundamentally stunted in his growth. He's not living the way that he should. He's not the person he should. So, okay, the Yarkon. Gemara goes right there. Simen lagasas ruach anios. This is incredible. Simen for arrogance is poverty, right? If a person is poor, that's a sign of arrogance. I will say, now, what does that mean? There are plenty of rich, arrogant people, right? So what does that mean? So look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, incredible. Simen lagasas ruach anios. Beperke ish mekadesh. Last Rashi, last line. Mefar shmai anios. Anios de Torah. This is close. Rashi says, no. The Gemara over here is not referring to financial poverty. It's referring to Torah poverty. They both say that someone who is arrogant is ignorant. Someone who is arrogant at least will be ignorant in Torah. Maybe not in other areas, but at least in Torah. Why? I both say very simple yisod. In order to go ahead and learn, in order to acquire Torah knowledge, you have to be willing to learn from other people. And not just from a Rebbe, not just from a teacher, but mamashli ezu chacham abomin mikol adam. The problem is that a person who is arrogant thinks he knows everything. So if he knows everything, he's not receptive to learning. If he's not receptive to learning, then he's going to remain in his state of arrogance. Similar lashon hara askara. The similar lashon hara ultimately again is askara. Now Rashi says over here askara choli hamaskal b'me'ayim v'gomer begaron. So we'll say askara. This is interesting. So some say askara is what I said before for hydrokon. That askara also is this type of disease that starts apparently like in the intestines, ultimately makes its way up to the throat. Tan Rabbanan, Askara Bali Olam. Askara comes to the world, Amud Beis, Rabosai, Amud Beis, Al HaMaisa. Because ultimately, again, people don't go ahead and tithe their fruits. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Allah Meiser. Ha'ochel peirosav tevalim v'hu b'misa. So we'll say, so the idea of here is if a person eats teval, a person eats untithed produce. So as a result of doing that, ultimately Asra comes. And Rashi says, Amida k'neged mida. You ingested things through your throat that were untithed, and therefore halacha l'maisa, the punishment comes through your throat as well. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Alashon Hara. Askra comes on Lashon Hara. If this person speaks Lashon Hara, but also there is a Midah k'neged Midah. A reciprocity. Amra v'itim Rav Shimon Levi. Maikra. V'amelech yismach bo'olim yishalom. Kolanish babo. Ki sachar pi dovrei sheker. So we'll say a little bit of a play on words. Ki sachar pi dovrei sheker. Yisachar. Askra. Who gets askra? Dovrei sheker. Those who go ahead and speak Lashon Hara. Iboy lehu. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Alashon Hara Kamar, Odilma Af Alashon Hara Nami Kamar. So we'll say when Rabbi Eliezer says, when Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi says that you get askra for Lashon Hara, was he saying just for Lashon Hara or also for Lashon Hara? In other words, both say, does he agree with the first opinion that says that askra comes about because of person consumed tevel? And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi is coming along and saying it also comes about as a result of Lashon Hara? Or no, he's arguing and he says it only comes about because of Lashon Hara. So Tashma, Kishenich Nesuavasinu Likaran Biavne, Hayasham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, v'nishalu she'ila zu bifneihem. Makazu mipnei ma maschalas bibnei ma'ayim v'gomeres bapet. So both said when all the rabbis were sitting in the vineyard in Yavne, remember again, Karen B'Yavne was a reference to the yeshiva. The Sanhedrin moved to Yavne, so they used to call it the vineyard in Yavne. Why? Rashi points out because the benches were arranged like vineyards. So they asked, why does Askara begin in the intestines and ends in the mouth? Na'an Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Rosh Hamadam b'chol makom. So we'll say the first, the answer was Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi was known as the Rosh Hamadabrim b'chol makom. He was always given the privilege to speak first in every situation. We'll see where that right came from. But that was his title. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Eloi, the Rosh Hamadar ben Bechol Mokom, the first to speak in every gathering. So Amar Afa Pi, so the Gemara says, Amar, first wide line, Afa Pi Sheklayos Yotos Velev Mavin Velosha Mechatech Pegomer. Even though, again, it's the kidneys that give Eitzah, and it's the heart that understands, and it's the tongue that articulates, it's the mouth, ultimately, again, that speaks. Na'an Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Va'amar, Mepnei She'ochlin Ba Dvarim Temeim. The reason why Askara ultimately goes ahead and ends in the mouth is because a person eats Dvarim Temeim. Dvarim Temeim, Dvarim Tzvasuva sounds like non-kosher items, whoever spoke about that. Ela She'ochlin Ba Dvarim She'ena Metukanin. Rather, it means Askara hits the mouth, because ultimately, again, it is the punishment for consuming untithed produce. Nan Rabbi Shimon Va'amar Ba'avon Bittel Torah. Ultimately, again, he said Askara comes about. Why? Because of Bittel Torah. Because a person failed to learn Amrulov. They said to him, how could that be that you get Askara for Bittel Torah? After all, Nashim Yochichu, women sometimes contract Askara as well, and women do not have an obligation ultimately to learn Torah. So the which the Gemara says, Shemavatlo says Ba'alein. Well, sometimes women prevent their husbands from learning. Okay? So sometimes that's their Bittel Torah also. If they prevent their husbands from learning, that's also called Bittel Torah. Nachrim Yochichu. What about non-Jews? Non-Jews also contract Askara, yet again they have no din of Talmud Torah. Shemavatlin es Yisrael. Aye, because sometimes the Nachrim, because sometimes the nations of the world prevent Klal Yisrael from learning Torah. That's their Bittel Torah. Tinokos Yochichu. So what about children? Sometimes, Rachmana Litzlan, children go ahead and contract Askara. Shemevatlin es Avihen. Ultimately, again, sometimes children prevent their parents, their fathers from learning. Tinokos Shalbeis Rabban Yochichu. What about young school children? Right? Children in yeshiva, children in cheder, children in school who are learning Torah. Sometimes they get Askara. Hasim kid Rabbi Gurion. Dam Rabbi Gurion, Bitim Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmaya. Bizman Shat Sadikim Bedar. Bizman Shat Tzadikim Bedar. Tzadikim Nit Pasen Al Adar. It will say, ultimately, again, when there are Tzadikim in the generation, so the Tzadikim are held accountable for the deeds of the generation. For the deeds of the generation. So the Gemara says, in Tzadikim Bedar, if there are no righteous people in the generation, no Tzadikim, so Tinoko Shabbis Rabim Nit Pasen Adar. It will say, very scary Gemara. So where there are tzaddikim in the generation, sometimes the tzaddikim ultimately are responsible for the collective guilt of the generation and are therefore held accountable. But chas v'shalom, when there are no tzaddikim, so who sometimes bears the brunt of the collective guilt of Am Yisrael, it's none other than the tinoko shabbos rabim, the school children. We'll say the common denominator over here is that both represent the purest of the pure of Am Yisrael. Right? The tzaddikim represent the purest of the pure, the tinoko shabbos rabim, the children who are learning Torah, the purest of the pure. So if there are tzaddikim, they take responsibility for the generation. There aren't tzaddikim, ultimately, again, the tinoko shabbos rabim take responsibility. An awesome Gemara. Amr Yitzhak Barzivi of Amrli Amr Shimon ben Nezira Mikra. What's the passage that supports this idea? In Lo Seidi Lach Hayofa Ben Ashim Siilach Beikve Hatzon. So I'll say. So what does this mean? If you do not know you, the most beautiful amongst women, go out into the flocks of the sheep. So what does this mean? Va'aminon Gedim Hamushkanin Al Haroin. Was we're talking about ultimately again the sheep that are the responsibility of the shepherds. So we'll say, so the idea being over here, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, in Lo Seidi, Lishmar Mitzvah, Sait Tzilachu, Bikshi Rachim, Miskos, Ikvi Atzon, Avos Harishram, Shay Ragli Atzon, Vichizukam, Varai Biskusan, Eskidios, Akhti Yogashlam. So we'll say, the idea over here is, it's the shepherd, it's the tzaddikim who's responsible. But if there are no tzaddikim, if there's no shepherd, Tzilach Be'ikvi Hatzon, go out to the young sheep. Go out to the young sheep. Those young sheep represent the tinokos shabbos rabban, the young school children who are so pure and so innocent, but sometimes are held responsible for the guilt of Am Yisrael. So we'll say, but again, just to loop this back, remember, we're trying to figure out, but why does Askara come? So remember, again, we have two different opinions. One opinion is that Askara comes as a result of consuming untithed produce. Second opinion says Askara comes about as a result, ultimately, of what? Of Lashon Hara. What do you see from here? Shmamina, al Lashon Hara nami kamer shmamina. So what you see from here is Askara comes because of one of two reasons. either because a person consumes untithed produce or because halacha lemaisa, a person spoke lashon hara. So now we get into one of the most dramatic stories, a well-known story. We're going to have the schus now to learn it and to see it inside, and we have a little bit of time to do it as well. So the Gemara says, "Amai kari lehu rosh hadar mechol makom." Now, if memory again, going back for just a moment. So they said that Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Lai was called the Rosh Hamadar ben Bechol Makom. Rabbi Yehuda bar Lai has this designation. He is the first to speak in all circumstances. So ask the Gemara, where did he get that title from? Who made him the first to speak in all situations? So we'll say this is incredible. Here we go. Diyasvi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Viyasvi Yehuda, and Gerim Gabayo. So we'll say there were a group of Rabbanim who were sitting. Who was there? Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rashbi. And another man by the name of Yehuda ben Gerim. So we'll say, where does he get the name Yehuda ben Gerim? Rashi says, ben Ger v'giores haya. Very simple. His parents converted. That will say, Nebepashtos, he didn't convert, right? But he was born to two convert parents. So that's how he was known as Yehuda ben Gerim. I was remember in the Gemara, so everyone's known as it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. So this Yehuda was also Gemara. So how did they call them? They could have called him Yehuda ben Avram Avinu, but they called him Yehuda ben Gerim. Good, Yehuda ben Gerim. I was just so you know, that statement, that's not a slight chas v'shalom. That is the greatest accolade and compliment. Because think about this in just a moment. All these other men were children of great people also. This man, Yehuda ben Gerim, we'll say was the son of converts. So it's not like he comes from any illustrious yichus, but yet again, look what he made of himself. Absolutely incredible. So the Gemara goes right there. So what happened? We'll say this is incredible. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say Rabbi Yehuda begins. This is Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. They're just sitting around and having a conversation. He says, "Kama no'im ma'asem shal umazu. Look how good the Romans are. Look how good the Romans are. Tiknu shukim, tiknu gisharim, tiknu mechatzos. Look at the infrastructure they've built for us. Right? They've created marketplaces, they've created bridges, and they've created bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi shasak. Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. Rabbi Yossi's logic was probably, you know what? Anything to do with the Romans, probably better not to comment on this conversation. Rashbi Amar. Whatever the Romans do for themselves. Let's not be under any false impressions that the Romans are here to serve us or to help us. Anything the Romans only do for themselves. Tiknu shukin lo sheben zonos. They make marketplaces because that's where the prostitutes are, right? Yeah, they have a red light district over there. So the shuk is where you put that. Merchatzos, they have bathhouses. La'adin bahen atzman. Bathhouses because, again, the Romans, right, were very much into physicality. I guess they inherited this Epicurean type of thing from the Greeks as well. So the bathhouses are there because of an overindulgence and an overemphasis on physical beauty. Gisharim, bridges, litol behen mechas. Oh, they only have bridges, why? So that they could collect tolls. So I'll say, okay, that was the conversation. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim, v'siper divrehem, v'nishmu l'machos. So Yehuda ben Gerim goes, and he tells over the story. Now, I will say, now what happens? So before we say, he tells over the story. Now, ultimately, again, you know what happens when you tell over a story? The story gets told over multiple times until the story gets told over to the Roman authorities. Now, Rashi points out something very interesting. The Sipar Divrayem, Rashi says, L'talmidov ola aviv v'imo, v'lo l'hashmiya l'malchus, v'nishmu al yadol malchus. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim said this over in a very innocent way. Right, all he was telling over either to his parents or his talmidim, he was just retelling information. There was nothing chas v'shalom. I will say, like, this isn't like a kamsa bar kamsa story over here, where someone is purposely telling negative information to the Romans. He just told someone, but unfortunately, again, someone else told someone else until it reached the Romans. So what happens? I will say, Amru. So the Romans hear about the story. Amru, Yehuda she'ila yisala. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, who went ahead and praised the Romans, he should be uplifted, right? He should be exalted. Yallah, we'll give him a promotion. So let's say, what was his promotion? The Romans legislated that wherever there is a Jewish gathering and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi is there, he must be given the kavod to speak first. So we'll say that's why he's called Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. That wasn't a zechus that the Jewish community gave him, but rather, again, that was legislated by the Romans. Next, so the Gemara says, Yossi sheshasak yigal tzipori. So Rabbi Yossi was quiet, didn't say anything, when it exiled him to Tzipori, the north of Eretz Yisrael. Shimon shegina yiharig. Rishon Yochai, who disparaged the Romans, death. So we'll say now there is a death sentence on the head of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So get ready for this. Also, who bray. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and now together with his son Rabbi Lazar, have to go into hiding. Now the truth is, his son didn't need to go. But Lamaise, his son went with him in order to accompany his father. So what happens? So Tashu Bei Midrasha. So they hid in the base medrash. So every day, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's wife would bring him and his son, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, a pitcher of water and a loaf of bread. And that's how they would sustain themselves. But as the Romans intensified their efforts to find Rashbi, so what happened? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, you know, the Romans were ruthless. So we have to be concerned that maybe again, they're going to chas v'shalom torture your mother, try to extract information, and she's going to give it to us. So we'll say, Nashim Daitin Kalin over here is not a disparaging statement. What he's saying over here is, and we'll say, ultimately, the Romans could also potentially try to convince her that we're not going to hurt him, we're not going to kill him, we want this, we want that. So the idea is, we can't place your mother in this circumstance, right? We can't place her in this. This is an unfair, first of all, it's putting her in danger every day bringing us food, and it's also putting her in harm's way, because if the Romans, chas v'shalom, decide to brutalize her, so we can't do this. We can't put your mother in this. So what do they decide to do? So Azal Tashu B'Ma'arta. They went and they hid in a cave. Israchesh Nisa, a miracle occurred. Every lecharuva ve'ina demayo, a carob tree, and a spring. Right? So suddenly, again, were created by the entranceway of the cave, and they were able to sustain themselves. So we'll say that. So buckser in water, right? Carob in water is what they were able to sustain themselves with. So what do they do? So we'll say what they would do is, they were nervous about wearing out their clothing. So what they would do is, they would take off their clothing and bury themselves in sand up until their neck. That's how they would learn Torah every day, buried in the sand up to their neck, in order that they should not wear out their clothing. Which I will say is amazing, because you would have thought, listen, if they saw a miraculous spring and buckser tree, you know, kind of sprout out by the mouth of that cave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to go out and take care of their clothing also. But again, in Sumchin Alanis, you know, you can't rely on miracles, and you can't assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep giving you miracles. So what happens? So the Gemara says, V'yasu atzara b'chalo, kuli yom agarsi, so they would learn covered in sand up to their neck for the entire day. When they would daven, they would put their clothing back on. And then when they would finish davening, they would take off their clothing, bury themselves again, and learn like that. The Gemara says, it's fine. Isu tracer shani marta. So we'll say, they went out for 12 years, they were in the cave. 12 years they were in the cave. So Asi Elio Kamapisra, one day Elio Navi comes and he stands at the entranceway of the cave. Amar, man lo de le bar yochai de mis kesar ubatal gzerte. Who's going to tell Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Ultimately, the Caesar is dead. Now, what I say, the halacha was that when the Caesar died, all of his enactments died with him as well. So therefore, Elio Navi is essentially telling them, you could come out. The Caesar is dead. The enactment, the decree is over. Come out. Now, what I say, I'll take something amazing. If you remember again, we had this discussion in Maseches Brachos about what is the proper approach to the work-learning balance in life. Right? So we'll say, remember again, we had Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the other opinion, I think, who was the other opinion? Meir Reish Lakish, Matasu Minaychu. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who says that you just should learn. And if you just learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything for you. That was Rashbi's idea. Just so I want to take care of you. So we'll say, I think I mentioned there, but I'll mention it again. That hashkafa works very well, as long as you can get by with boxer, water, and one set of clothing. So as long as you have very, very, very low materialistic expectations, and you are good with boxer, water, one set of clothing, then yes, you can go ahead and learn and assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you in some way. But again, if you have any greater level of material expectation, I'm sure by Yochai, get a job. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara goes back to, and the Gemara explains an incredible yisod. So the Gemara says, "Nafgu chazu inish." So what happens? So now Eliyahu HaNavi comes. He's standing at the entranceway. He says, "The Caesar has died. Go ahead and go out." So nafgu, they go out of the cave. Chazu inish deka karvi vizari. So we'll say they saw people plowing fields, planting fields. Amar. So we'll see, you have to understand something. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai and his son Rabbi Lazar were essentially, they were locked away for 12 years. And they lived a fundamentally, we'll call it like detached existence. There was no materialism. Because remember again, they subsisted on the bare basics. Literally, boxer and water. And Rabbi said, by the way, just to understand, that was 7 days a week, right? There wasn't the pshat that there was brisket on Shabbos. Okay, so Shabbos, and we'll eat leftovers on Sunday. Like, that was it. That was it. Learning Torah and davening the entire day, that was it. So they come back into the world, and they almost have an inability to reintegrate normally. So they see people engaging in normal activities, planting and plowing and doing all the things that normal people do. And they can't wrap their head around it. They can't understand how could it be that people give up the lofty and spiritual in order to engage in the mundane. So kamakum shenosnei nisraf, wherever they looked, they destroyed. So whether that's literal, that wherever they looked, they destroyed, or that they came into the world with such a condescending way of looking at everyone else, that they looked at everyone else, and with their glance, they destroyed. You know, we'll say sometimes someone shoots you a glance that clearly indicates that they don't approve of what it is that you're doing or how you're living, how that ultimately, again, makes you feel destroyed. So everywhere they looked, they destroyed. So we'll say it's incredible. Yatsa baskava amra, lahem, lahachriva lami yitzasim. Do you think I took you out of the cave to destroy the world or to go out and destroy innocent people? Chizru lema'araschen. We'll say, wild. Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu sends them back to the cave. He sends Rabbi Shemai Yochai and his son of Elazar back to the cave. So the Gemara says, Hadra azul isfu treser yarchishasi. They go back to the cave for another 12 months. Omri, mishpat risham begehenem yud beis chodesh. But they said, one second, Rabbi said, even the most wicked only have to spend 12 months in Gehenem. Right? See, even that, right? The longest sentence in Gehenem is 12 months. How long are you going to keep us over here? Yal says, Abaskal, v'alam tzumim araschem. So Abaskal comes out and says, okay, come out of the cave. So the Rosa, watch this. So Nafku, kol heichad ha'memachin Rebbe Lazar, ha'memash Rebbe Shem. So we'll say, Rebbe Lazar still, the son, wherever he looked, he destroyed. But now, wherever Rebbe Lazar destroyed, Rebbe Shem by Yochai healed. It was an incredible yisod. You know, sometimes the power of youth is idealism. And sometimes the danger of youth is idealism. And as well say, idealism is very powerful. But idealism must always be tempered with a healthy dose of realism. So Rebbe Lazar is still this idealistic young man. I can't believe people are plowing. I can't believe people are planting. The only important thing in life is Torah. And how can you give up anything else to go on Torah? And what happens? So he destroys. But Rabbi Shimon, the father, right, who lived a little bit longer and knows a little bit more about life and took to heart the lesson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being sent back into the cave, he says, you know what? Elu v'elu. Different people do different things. Different people do different things. And there's a place and there's a role and there's an importance for every person and what it is that they do. So wherever the son, quote unquote, destroyed, the father was able to heal. So the Gemara says, Amar lo b'ni, dai li olam ani va'ata. And Rabbi Shem says to Rabbi Lazar, don't worry. As long as you and I are here, we could sustain the world. In other words, let the people plant and let the people plow, let people do their things. Our Torah will help to sustain the world. So the Gemara says something beautiful. So we'll say they were walking together on Erev Shabbos. Now they're out of the cave. They're walking together on Erev Shabbos. They saw an old man who was holding two myrtle branches, and it was right before Shabbos. He's holding two myrtle branches. What happens? They said to the old man, why do you need two myrtle branches? I'm bringing the myrtle branches with their fragrant scent to my home, l'kavod Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. The Gemara says, v'tiski l'chabachad. Why do you need two myrtle branches? One myrtle branch is enough. To which the old man responded, Chad keneged Zachar, the Chad keneged Shamar. One of us says to say, the old man said, one is for Zachar, one is for Shamar. Remember again, the two different words used in connection with Shabbos, to remember the Shabbos, to guard the Shabbos. So Amar Lehu, so the Gemara says, good. Amar Leh Lebrei, Chazi kama chaviv in mitzvos al Yisrael. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says to his son, you see, look how much Klal Yisrael loves mitzvahs. And I was saying, you have to understand something. The truth is, there's no mitzvah here. There's no mitzvah to bring myrtle branches to your home. It's nice, but what's the mitzvah? So I was saying, what Rabbi Shimon Yochai was showing to his son is, you know, look at the beauty of the neshama of the Jew. Okay, so not every person does what they're supposed to do. And not every person learns Torah. And not every person maximizes their potential. And people do bad things and all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, look at the beautiful spiritual simplicity that every Jew possesses. And every Jew actualizes in some way. Here's an old man. Here's an old man who's running Bein HaShemashos with two myrtle branches. Why? Because he wants to infuse a little bit more beauty into his Shabbos. Does he have to do it? No, he doesn't have to do it at all. But he's doing it because he cares about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he cares about Shabbos. So Rav Shimon says to Rabbi Elazar, they might not learn as much Torah as we think they should. But first of all, that's what we think. Who says that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? And also the Baruch Shalom is able to see their spiritual beauty as manifest in the small things that they do, the beautiful expressions of love for Hashem, of love of Torah, love of Mitzvah. So we'll say, just as an aside, you know, sometimes when you go in and you see Saba, Ahu Saba, old man, so sometimes Saba refers to who? Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi. And it could be, although I didn't see the Farshim bring it down, but it could be that maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is also being sent to show them that just because people are not on your lofty level of spirituality and Torah learning does not mean that they don't possess an incredible amount of spiritual holiness as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Shamra Pinchas ben Yarchas ne v'nafak la'pei Aile lebei bani. So listen to this. So this is incredible what we'll say. Rishir ben Yochai's son-in-law was Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, which is incredible. Remember again, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer is very important. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer is essentially, his statement is the source from Silas Yisharim, right? All of the Midos that we have, the progression of Midos, Okar Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, he was Rashbi's son-in-law. Can you imagine this mishpacha? Rabbi Shlomo Yochai is the father. Rabbi Lozer is the son. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer is the son-in-law. This was a mishpacha. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer hears that his father-in-law and brother-in-law have come out of the cave. So he goes to greet them. Aili lebei banim. So he takes his father-in-law, his Shlomo Yochai, to the bathhouse. This is incredible. He takes him to the bathhouse. He was helping to bathe his father-in-law. So we'll say, so again, he was massaging his father-in-law's skin a little bit. So what happened? He saw that his father-in-law's skin was cracked. There were cracks in his skin. But remember again, for 13 years, they were in the sand, covered in the sand. So Kavi Kabache. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer began to cry. He began to cry when he saw how physically compromised his father-in-law was. The Kanasru Dim As Eine, the Kamtsavchile. His tears, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer's tears, fell into the cracks in the skin of his father-in-law, of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. And when the tears fell in the salt water, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he cried out. He cried out, because obviously the salt water tears exacerbated the pain. So the Gemara said, listen to this, it was incredible. Amar le oili shere isi chabekach. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer says to his father-in-law, it pains me so much to see you like this. Amar le ashrecha shere isani bekach. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says to someone, listen to these words. He says, Ashrecha, I am so happy that you see me this way. Baruch Hashem, I am this way. Why? She'omole lo re'isani bekach, lo matzase bikach. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, because without these scars, right, without these cracks in my skin, I would not be the man I am today. Rabbi Shimon said, do you hear this? Without the cracks in my skin, I would not be the man I am today. Rabbi Shimon said, what makes us who we are not the brachas. What makes us who we are is how we handle the adversity and how we handle the challenges. Rav Shlomo Chai says, you know, if my skin was soft, I would not be the man I am today. The reason I am who I am are because of the cracks, are because of the bruises, are because of the difficulties. And I will say, what an incredible you sowed for life. It's not our brachos that make us great. It's our ability to overcome adversity, our ability to weather challenges, our ability to go ahead and make it through the difficult. It's the cracks in our skin that make us who we are. It's not the soft, moisturized skin that define you. It's the wounds, it's the scars, it's the cracks from battle that make us great. So the Gemara says, "Demei karaki hava makshir b'shomai yachai koshia hava mefarik lera pinchas ben yar treser peruke." Well, it used to be that Rav Shlomo Yochai would pose a question. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair would give 12 answers. L'sof, Kevamach Rav Pinchas Ben Yair Koshia, Hamafarik Lera Rashbi Esrin Va'arba Perikei Rosei. Then afterwards, when Rav Pinchas Ben Yair would pose a question, Rashbi would give 24 answers. So you see again, it used to be that Rashbi would ask the questions, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair would give the answers, 12 answers. Now, when Rav Pinchas Ben Yair posed the question, Rashbi would give 24 answers. His ability to give these extra answers, his ability to go ahead and find these new heights in Torah, he attributed ultimately again to his adversity and the challenges over the 12 years. All right, we'll say. There's more to the story, but we'll have to stop over here. But incredible, incredible Gemara. The story continues a little bit on top of Beis Hashem. You'll be zochet to see it first day of Pesach. I'll send out the schedule for Chol HaMoed. We'll say so. Take this opportunity to really wish all of you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I'm going to miss all of you dramatically over Yom Tov and miss our Shir. At least during the week, we get to learn together like this. Not perfect, but certainly something, and something beautiful. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the technology we have that keeps us together. It's going to be difficult not learning with all of you, but I will say, here's what we have to remember, that L'maisa, even though we will not be physically or technologically learning together, we're still all on the same page. Literally and metaphorically. We're still going to be on the same Daf Gemara and Amir Tzashem, these beautiful words of this Heilig Masechta Shabbos. Daf Lamed Dalid, Lamed Hey, and Lamed Vav. Should Amir Tzashem make us feel together, make us feel connected over these days of Yom Tiv. Chag Kasher V'Sameach. We'll begin davening as soon as, I don't know if Meishi is on, but if Meishi is on, as soon as Meishi is able to start. Shkach HaBosei.